this nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline
greed
in the dollar,
for lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street,
too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Good morning. You're listening to Money Talks on AM 920. I'm Matt Hames here with Troy Harmon, Charlie Holloway. We have alphabet soup on the docket today. We've got Charlie's a CFP, a CDFA. I think everybody knows what a CFP is. CDFA, certified or chartered?
Certified.
Certified divorce financial analyst.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a byproduct of the CFP designation. So
you don't have to be divorced to get it?
No, you mean me personally?
Yes.
No, you don't. That was not a prerequisite, fortunately.
You don't have to have that experience?
Certain amount of experience not required. For
right.
That.
Right.
Well, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. You got Troy over there with CFA, and any others? You got a couple others that are pending, I got
one pending evaluation designation, but I'll hold off talking about it until we
understand.
See it show up.
I understand, and I'm a certified trust and financial advisor, so for what that's worth, Bill always butchers that one, so
right.
CTFA.
Well,
he
can say CTFA, he just always forgets what it is.
What it stands for.
Right, yeah.
There you go.
What is that again? Right.
Well, listen, we're glad you're listening this morning, and as always, we record the show on Thursday, and lots to talk about, but if you've got questions you want us to cover, by all means, reach out to us during the week. You can call us at 770-429-9166. Or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. Been on the air with Money Talks, I believe it's since 1986 now, guys. It's been a long time, and this
86.
Is the longest running, most respected money show on Atlanta radio. I know a lot of people get on the radio these days and talk about money, but the show's been doing it a long time. Dr. Gene's been at it for a while. So what's happened this week, Troy?
Got a lot of
the latest, greatest.
Well, you know, the market's going back and forth overall at the time of this recording. I believe it's up slightly for the week, but we've had quite a bit of economic information come out. Personal income came out Monday. It shows it held steady, basically. Income rose 0.3%, 0.3%. Matching December's pace, and then spending fell again. And of course, what's the reason for the spending falling? Lower oil prices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, even though lately I think we've been seeing some increases.
Yeah, the gas pump, right?
Right.
Yeah, they popped back up.
They have. I mean, we've got how many days consecutive? We went on a stretch for 17 days of consecutive increases at the pump.
Yeah. Around. It's over 220 now in most places, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is one place, so this is a big shout out over at 575, I-575 in Bell's Ferry. They're having a gas war. I bought gas last night for $1.93 a gallon. Unbelievable.
Really?
If you're Bell's Ferry Road.
If you're close by,
I go right through there on the way home.
Yeah,
they got
a new gas station over there in the Quick Trip, and them and a Shell and several others. They're all battling for supremacy. So
note to self.
Get you some cheap gas while you're at it. Anyway, that's an aside.
Don't go inside and get a Coke because they charge quadruple the normal price on those.
But gas is cheap. Yeah, good stuff. We had an ISM manufacturing index come out this week as well, down 0.2%. It wasn't what was expected, and the bigger fear is that it might impede that fourth quarter. People keep thinking that the fourth quarter GDP will be better than the last time, which in fact we got this week as well. But when you have manufacturing that's not expanding, it becomes doubtful that you're going to see huge swings in the positive GDP.
Troy, real quick, what is that number relative to? I mean, it did decline, but is that a big decline?
It's not huge, but marginal.
But
the fact that here's the thing: the index is measured. Anything above 50 is an expansion. So we went from 53.5 down to 52.9. It's a small It's still expanding, but it's a decline in the growth rate. So
it's expanding less.
Right. So, you know, and that's the thing. That's been the story for a long time, actually. You know, we've got growth. It's just not knocking it out of the park. And when you don't have that, then you start looking at inflation, and inflation doesn't look like it's going anywhere. It's really just a matter of very slow growth. And when you start seeing it, the growth decline, the rate of growth decline, then it starts making you worry a little more. And GDP, we saw that revised, I think that was later last week, that it was revised to 2.2%. The initial report was 2.6%. That's for fourth quarter of 2014. You know, again, not the greatest news. ISM Services Index actually did expand. Came out. It's the third increase in the past 6 weeks. So, you know, with the economy, our economy, the domestic economy, based on services, then you know you see that a broader index is so more positive.
So that was curious to me, Troy, because it, you know, according to what we got here, so non-manufacturing accounts for 88% of GDP.
Right.
Yeah, GDP disappointed.
Right, and the thing that is strange about that, Matt, you pointed out, manufacturing seems to be a better indicator of GDP growth. Strange as it is,
okay.
With it being a small portion of our domestic economy, it still is the one that tends to be a better indicator of whether or not we're having GDP growth. Hmm. But that was the case. We also saw the Fed come out with their beige book, which covered early January through mid-February. And basically, it's the same old story, modest to moderate growth, slowing in the pace of growth in some districts. You know, it's basically the lead on to the same old story. We've got expansion. Even recently, it's been slow, but it's slowed down even a little bit more in the last month or so. You know, it's really the global story too. And what makes it even stranger is no matter what this information shows, the dollar is still gaining strength against the euro. And the biggest reason that's going to happen is because you're still sitting in the domestic economy that's got the best growth aspects in the around the globe at the moment. So, you know, euros or the European zone has enacted their quantitative easing, but you haven't seen any signs of growth or change in that yet. It's real early. Maybe we'll see something start kicking off, but the growth story's getting a little bit worrisome. So we see interest rates over the last week. They're
up again.
The two years up 4 basis points to 0.66%, which is a little bit higher, but it's still down slightly year to date.
Yep.
The 5 years at 1.6%.
10 years at 2.13.
Right, and then the 30-year is at 2.73.
So that, in turn, obviously, especially that 10-year, you know, is going to push your 30-year average mortgage rate up a little bit.
Right, yeah, so it's 3.93. Mm-hmm. Yep, still below 4%, which we talk about a lot, you know, how it's still overall it's you know, it's historically low. One of the big news stories from the week though was the NASDAQ. You saw it got over 5,000. So what does that mean? Does that mean it's expensive or not? The last time it was here was 15 years ago. Unbelievable.
Wow, 15
right.
years.
Yeah, the NASDAQ was probably most impacted by the tech bubble for sure. The P.E. on the NASDAQ on 3/10 of 2000 was 175. The price was 175 times the earnings on that particular index by itself. At the time, the S&P was really expensive too. It had a P.E. of 28.9, and I think the highest point that the S&P got during that time was like 37 times earnings. Either way, that's really expensive. If you look at what the NASDAQ's got today as far as a PE, it's 31 times earnings. And while that is much higher than the S&P 500, Which
got
has
a lot more growth companies.
It's 18, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You've got still the NASDAQ has got a lot of technology companies, and those technology companies are expected to grow faster. So it does. It makes sense that you would have a higher PE.
Yeah, and you'll hear a term in economics often called permanent loss of capital, and there's no formal definition of it, but numbers you can look at would be any investment you make that takes 15 to 20 years to recoup,
right?
Which is exactly what the NASDAQ was in the tech bubble,
right?
Was a permanent loss of capital. It took 15 years to recover. And you think of all the earnings that are being driven by NASDAQ companies, and it took 15 years to get back to even just with right. everything that's happened with what Apple's done and Google and
right.
Microsoft. So that's the problem with buying a house at the top in 2008 and buying stocks at the end of 1999 in the NASDAQ.
And the environment for investment's different, right, in those types of companies today than it was then. You made a great point, Troy, about how the price to earnings ratio on NASDAQ in March of the year 2000 was 175.39. Today it's 31.43. So if the conversation right. to be had is it expensive compared to where it was then, the answer would overwhelmingly be no.
Absolutely not. Right.
What I wanted to add to it that was interesting was I read actually earlier today Mark Cuban, of all people, who posts on his blog fairly often some pretty interesting stuff, but he was talking about the difference between the nature of the technology market, publicly traded technology market, NASDAQ, by and large, and the stocks during the tech bubble, when so many dot-coms went public, raised capital, and then just the tech bubble ensued, right?
Right.
You had these unrealistic valuations compared to where we are today. And it was actually very interesting. He was talking about the similarities and differences is that he feels like the startup market is more risky today for what he's referring to as angel investors. He said the reality is if you've got a startup or a small tech company and you need to raise less than $25 million, it's almost impossible to do that in public markets now for a lot of reasons. So they're going to angel investors.
Right.
Who
are putting together funds and funding these things, mm-hmm. right? Whereas in 1998, 1999, 2000, early part of 2000, you had similar access to funds, but it was all through the public market. So
sure.
The difference was that when things went bad, for the most part, everyone could hit the eject button and sell because you had liquidity then.
Right.
Whereas now you've got through crowdsource funding platforms right. and things of that nature, it's harder to get your money out. So if you're investing in the similar type companies that are startup technology companies that aren't publicly traded,
mm-hmm.
the risk is a very different one and maybe worse. As Charlie, you and I were talking off the air, the only thing worse than selling something for a third of what it's worth, what you bought it for, is
never getting it back.
Having
it
be worth a third of what you bought it for and you can't sell it.
Right.
So yep. there's just a lack of liquidity today for a lot of those companies.
Right. Well, no matter what, I think if the market ever gets the general market, NASDAQ or otherwise, gets to 175 times earning, it's probably a bit expensive.
Yeah,
even at 37 on the S&P, which is what it was back then, it's ridiculous. And folks talk about the S&P and the PE all the time. But like I say, if you look at it today at 18 versus what it was back then at 28.9, it doesn't look like a bubble to me.
Yep.
Anyway, if you had bought the NASDAQ at the top and waited on the bottom to sell, if you could have gotten out then, which you could have because you said, as you said, it's it's a liquid market, you would have lost about 78%. And you don't just have to get 78% increase in order to get out. That's a 353% increase just to get you back to zero.
15 years.
Well, yep. and I think the important thing to keep in mind here is that all-time high on NASDAQ is going to sound real good on every news feed. That's
right.
Everybody wants to talk about it. But the better question is what you're speaking to is it expensive or not?
Right. Yeah, a number doesn't necessarily mean that right. it's expensive. It's the price ratios that we look at anyway as analysts to determine the valuation of any sort of asset.
Yeah.
So. And the PEs at the top of the NASDAQ companies are going to be a little bit lower.
Right.
Apple's PE is not 31. Microsoft's is not 31.
No, absolutely.
They're half of that, give or take. So it's there's still some even much better values from a PE perspective in the NASDAQ
sure.
that are making up a lot of that index.
Well, what's even more interesting, if you look at the long-term median PE,
mm-hmm.
On the NASDAQ is about 32, so it's still below its longer-term median. All things considered, it doesn't look like a bubble, like I say.
Well, let's go ahead and take a break here, and we're going to go ahead and pay some bills, and don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. We'll also talk about a case study when we come back. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.